We're excited to be bringing you this podcast produced by our company, ADV Marketing. ADV Marketing develops high-quality and cost-effective marketing materials for a wide range of businesses. Our relationship-driven business model and customized marketing solutions makes us the perfect partner for small businesses looking to grow. I'm Sarah, Creative Director at ADV Marketing. Join me here with the rest of my team on Marketing Matters every other Monday to discuss business-to-business marketing topics. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Marketing Matters, a podcast where we discuss all things marketing related and how it applies to your business. And I actually almost made it all the way through that intro without having to look down at my paper to remember. So
we're getting closer. You draw attention to it, though, whenever you say it.
I feel like it's very noticeable, though, that I'm looking down, but maybe not. Okay, anywho's, welcome to Marketing Matters. I'm Sarah Roberts, Creative Director at ADV Marketing.
And I'm Morgan Hutcherson, an Account Manager at ADV Marketing.
Yes, and we're very excited to be here today talking about, I think this is the last episode of this season.
Yeah, which is good because I thought the previous episode was the last episode.
Yeah. So it's like a bonus at this point.
It's so funny. I feel like the season's like flown by, but last season, the first season I was on, I feel like it took forever.
Yeah. Maybe that's an indicator that you're getting the hang of it. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, we are going to be talking about what makes a design good. And this question is more than just what is subjectively my preferences in design or what do I want my brand to look like. It's what are the basic principles of a really good design? And spoiler alert, it all goes back to the purpose and how it's communicating. So we'll talk about that as well. But we're going to go through some basic design principles, and we're going to go through some basic tenets that kind of build the foundation of design and how we as humans process a designed document and what makes it more effective in terms of effectively communicating what you want it to communicate. So we're taking the, the subjectivity and the preference out of it. And we're just talking about basic core foundations of design. So first, we're going to start with design principles. And there are these things called Gestalt principles, which I know you know. And they're actually like a big psychology thing. Huh. There's something you learn about in like psychology 101 or in basic psychology books because it's all about how we as people process incoming information, visual information.
Yeah.
And it very much all leads back to like how we have developed as human beings to survive.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So it actually is about how we process our world and how design takes advantage of that. So basic Gestalt principles are proximity, closure, similarity, continuity, organization, and symmetry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go each one, Morgan,
and we're going to
explain. I know. But they'll be easy. We also both know them.
Well, can I do a little disclaimer?
Yeah.
That if you're not, like, that familiar with them, after this episode, I would go look them up and look at the actual, like, visuals that are assigned with them. Because we can describe it as much as we want, but when you're actually looking at it, you can for sure see, like, the difference between a piece that isn't implementing one of these principles and a piece that is.
Yes. And I should say there's not really a right or wrong in each one. It's what is communicated and what is not communicated. Mm-hmm. So if you think about like modern logos are really, really simplified. They're very flat. And we're going to talk about dimension in a couple of these. There's not a lot going on in them, but that serves a purpose, right? Like simplicity and minimalism serve a communication purpose just as maximalism and like maximalism.
Yeah.
It has to be that, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Maximalism serves a purpose as well. Mm-hmm. And certain design elements make you perceive a logo, a print media document, something like differently.
Yes.
Anyways, so Gestalt, if you want to look it up, that's G-E-S-T-A-L-T, Gestalt principles. And we'll start with proximity. Proximity means that if two design elements or text boxes or lines are close together, the brain perceives it as being grouped together, even if they're not connecting. So if they're close together, that means they go together. Closure means that even if you have a gap in a line, your brain's going to fill in the gap if it's close enough. So if you think about like dotted lines, that's an excellent example of closure because you still realize it's a line even though it's not one connected line. Similarity is if there's two similar things next to each other, they're grouped together. Continuity. Do I remember what continuity is? I'm not really sure. We'll skip that one for now. Organization is how you organize information on a page. So if you put something in the top left, that's going to be where most of the attention goes to first. That is like prime real estate. Also, recency and primacy, I think, is the opposite of recency, where it comes first instead of last. Do you remember? There's a certain psychological principle that if something comes last or if something comes first, you remember it better.
Well, I think
it's primacy. I'll coin the new term. It's primacy.
Okay, so if things come first, you remember it better.
Or if last. So that's saying like if the very top header, that's more memorable, and the very bottom footer is more memorable.
Okay.
So that's why you typically see call to actions there, because it's first and last. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's like the borders. So organization matters on a page. Symmetry is about balance. Mm-hmm. So heavier things make more sense at the bottom of the page. And I realize that's really complicated because it's like it's design. It doesn't weigh anything. But if you have like something super blocky or like very bold, it's going to feel better at the bottom because balance says that it'll fall down, if that makes sense. And then lighter elements will stay and float up higher. Other part of symmetry is that if you have something on one side of the page, you want it balanced out with something else on the other side of the page. But this is an example of like there's no right or wrong here because asymmetry serves as a focal point. So like if you have symmetry, nothing stands out because it's all balanced. If you have imbalance, your eye's immediately going to go to the thing that's out of balance because it's going to attract your attention. Attracting attention is the name of the game. So you might want to use asymmetry, not just symmetry, to your advantage in designs. So who knows what continuity is?
I think it's that one. Like, I'm just thinking of the examples of the gestalt that we've gone over because we like kind of went over them today. And you remember that one? It's like the food.
Oh, the pan.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Continuity is the journey line then.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know what continuity is. Thank you, Morgan. So continuity is when things fall in line. And actually, it's whether or not you want to portray organization.
It's kind of like a story.
Chaos. Yeah. Yeah. So if you lack continuity, you kind of inspire chaos. Fun art history fact. I can't remember what it was. I think it was the Renaissance and the period after the Renaissance. The name is, I think it's like Roscoe or something.
Did you take an art history class?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, I remember this from our art history
class. Yeah. There's this part in Renaissance, everything is in a grid, right? And like the Renaissance was where the perspective lines came into play. You know this. Like the horizon line, perspective was discovered. Like there's a ton of Greek Roman paintings where there's a very defined point in the distance that is like the perspective point. The period after the Renaissance, they flip that around. So they're like going against the status quo basically in a new art movement. Everything became diagonal. So instead of organizing things on a horizon line that was straight across, they started organizing things off the diagonal. When you start organizing things off the diagonal, it looks and feels chaotic. And you can see that in a lot of films when the main character is going through a period of crisis, they tilt the camera. Yeah. So now you'll notice it.
Yeah. That's crazy how you remember this stuff. I did not remember anything from my art history class. But when you said Roscoe, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of movement. Movement is conveyed through diagonal lines. So continuity tells a story by how things fall in line. Makes more sense if you're looking at a visual. Yeah. So, you know,
podcasting. I highly recommend go look at the visuals after this if you want like more of an example and a grasp on these principles.
Yeah. And what you really want to know is looking at them, how does it make you feel and what do you pay attention to first? Which we're going to go over like what questions to ask yourself when you're giving feedback on a design. But yeah, it's not right or wrong. It's just what is being conveyed over something else. And there's always a reason for something. And it's just, does the reason make sense for the purpose of the product.
Yep.
Okay. So with that, another important element of design is like actual communication of content. And that will always, always lead back to knowing your audience and knowing your purpose. So you cannot create something without knowing who you're creating it for and why it's being created. Everything that you judge about a design needs to lead back to those two questions. There's a couple of other, like, I guess, best practices, one of which being be concise, use simple language, mm-hmm. don't opt for the $100 word when you could use the $20 word. Have language that makes sense for your audience and your purpose, mm-hmm. and make sure it matches your objective. And then we've said here before, skimmability is huge. You want your key takeaways to be obvious within the first 5 seconds of looking at a document. So mm-hmm. there's best practices, but there's also knowing why you're creating something and who you're creating it for. And good design always involves a feedback process, because it's very, very rare that the best version of whatever you want to create is going to be your first version. Mm-hmm. So things get good in revisions.
Yeah. And I think a lot of marketers out there are self-taught mm-hmm. graphic designers, because yeah. like, unless you have that arts degree, like, you're just not focused on that. And like, we both are.
Yeah.
And you've definitely had like a little bit more experience than I have. But I feel like the way I've gotten better over these like last 10 months here, like, it's because I look at my designs and figure out how to make them better each time. Mm-hmm. And it really is like, Sarah will review my stuff and she'll literally call out gestalt principles and be like, the proximity is off on this. Yeah. Like, you need to have them closer together.
Yeah.
And that is how I've gotten better and better with my designs.
And asking, how can I be better in relation to what this document is supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, what its purpose is.
And that's helped me reviewing others' materials as well. And like, how yeah. can I make this better with the design, even though I'm not formally trained in graphic design?
Yeah. That's a good point. Marketers nowadays, for economical, cost-effective marketing, marketers have to do a lot with, like, they have to kind of work magic with what they're given. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of creativity and a lot of resourcefulness. And that means that marketers end up with very large skill sets mm-hmm. because they learn how to do what they need to do, given the task at hand and given the audience and purpose and objective of the task at hand. They figure out how to communicate that best, regardless of the format that they pick in the end. They figure out how to do it. So good design is all about process and practice and feedback, and having a draft first, but then knowing that a draft gets better with review.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we're going to come back, we're going to talk more about reviewing and questions to ask yourself when you're reviewing a design to have the best feedback for design, whether you're reviewing your own design or someone else's.
Yes.
Okay. We'll see you then.
Welcome back from that break, y'all. I hope you once again enjoyed our little elevator music montage. I love it.
It's so funny in the edited versions of these episodes when you watch them back. It's just really funny because when we film, obviously we don't hear the music. But then, like, we always mention it in the final episodes. It's like,
because we're so proud of it. We edited it.
It's so cute. Anyway.
Okay, so let's get into questions you can ask yourself when you're reviewing either something you've created or if you're reviewing somebody else's work. Or sometimes I just, like, when I want to get better at graphic design, I look at designs in the world and, like, ask myself these questions.
Yep.
So I guess let's start first. I feel like anyone, like, as soon as you get the document, the first thing you should be asking yourself is, like, what is my eye drawn to first? And is that what should capture my attention first? So, like, typical examples are, like, headers, obviously. You want yep. those to stand out for skimmability reasons. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're going to? Is there an image of your product or service that you really want people to be aware of? Or is that yeah. more like filler and that's getting your attention too quickly? Yeah.
Is the random red line that's meant to be an accent what you look at first? Mm-hmm. And if it is, like, maybe you want something else to capture yeah. attention first.
That's a big thing with color, because a lot of the companies I see, like, they have very bold colors mm-hmm. and they don't always put them to the best use on their designs. Like, if they have, like, a bright orange or something, it's like, that can be so powerful. But if you're putting it all over the page or like putting it in the wrong spot, then I'm just going to go see that bold orange color instead of anything else that's more muted.
Yeah, it dulls it out. The contrast isn't there, which contrast is huge. We haven't talked about that, but anything that stands out is like a great tool for capturing attention.
Yeah. And then after you've looked at the design for about like 5-ish seconds, look away and ask yourself, what can you recall? Is there anything memorable about that? Is that the main thing you want to remember or want the client or whoever is getting this piece to remember? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, okay, how do you make it more memorable?
Yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then lastly, is the information overwhelming? Are you trying to put too much on a page? Is it too little of information? And do you know where to look first on the page for the information?
Yeah. Design is about guiding an eye, and it's about making sure you know where it goes. Really, really advanced designers and design agencies use eye tracking software for really high stakes design. And when I say high stakes design, I mean like probably billboards surrounded around a Super Bowl ad, or like something that takes a lot of investment and they want to get right the first time and not continuously test something till it dies, like that kind of thing. They want to know that they're getting the right attention in the right spot. So they'll have eye trackers and they'll run analyses based off of like a focus group to where people look first. And then there's a heat map that comes out of that analysis where it's like, this is where they're looking. That is a really quantitative way to tell where an eye is guided. But overall, a design is guiding an eye. It's funneling and putting in guardrails for like what you're perceiving and when you're perceiving it while you're looking at a document. And that's within a really, really, really short time frame, which is why you want to look at it 5 seconds and then look away and see what you took away from it.
That's funny that you brought that up, because I was also thinking the same thing about the heat map. Because I remember like when we would do A-B tests in school, that was like one of the things we could do on the Qualtrics surveys we would create. And it was always interesting to see like what people were drawn to. And it's always like pictures and headings.
Yes.
And then you get like those random ones that are like some random design, and that's like how you know that they're like not actually
paying attention. Yeah. And also, like I said, I think earlier in this podcast, the top left is always where your eye's going to go. If I would, okay, caveat. I'm talking about like English speaking left to right. Well, not English speaking, maybe romance languages, the ones that go left to right.
I think it, yeah.
Right?
It's like pretty standard though, like reading a book.
If you read right to left, obviously the top left is not going to be your first go-to. But for romance languages, cultures that have a romance language, it's going to be left to right. So your eye immediately goes top left.
Yeah. And a good analogy I like to give, because I feel like a lot of people think about this more than like actual print media pieces, especially if you're applying for jobs. Think about how people read resumes.
Yeah.
And it's like, they look at the title, like your name, contact info, and they skim down. And it's also kind of like an E. And they really look at those first two job title experiences and some of those bullet points. And then anything after that, they're literally skimming it and not looking at it. And that's pretty standard for any graphic design.
Yeah. Yeah. Design can be impactful, and it can make people want to be drawn in, or it can draw them in just from how you design something. But overall, you're dealing with people with very, very, very short, very short attention spans, or very limited attention to give. So you have to take advantage of what little time they do have and make sure that what you want to stand out is the thing standing out, not your random red accent line.
Yeah. And humans are just lazy by nature. They're not going to read a full one pager if it's just like all one color, hard to decipher, too much text, like all of the bad design principles.
Yes. So we don't want that. Okay. Well, that was a good episode. It was a great way to end this season. We're going to take a season break, I guess, and then come back with maybe season 6 if I labeled this podcast outline correctly.
I think we are on season 5. Yeah. I think that's also been a theme throughout the season, is what season are we on?
An overall centralizing theme.
Yeah.
But we'll be back with the new season relatively quickly. But yeah, so a great final episode. Be sure to subscribe so you know when the next season drops, or follow us on LinkedIn, rate the podcast. And we won't see you in 2 weeks. We'll have a little bit longer break than that, but we will see you soon.
Bye, thanks, guys.